Hey, welcome back to the Mead House. I am Jeff, here with my buddy Chris.
How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
If I was any better, I almost have to be two of me. I'm having a great day.
Well, you know, with two of you, we would probably be feeling a little less of this bottle of mead we're
about to
crack into here, too. So,
and actually, this bottle of mead is one I made myself. I made it with dragon fruit.
Dragon fruit. We were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
No, I'm very curious to see what we get out of this, because, like I said, I don't know if I've ever had a dragon fruit.
Now, I will tell you, this is about a 14.2% mead finished. And the dragon fruit I put in it, I put a slight amount, I'll be surprised if you can taste it, a slight amount of ginger in it.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
And the reason I did that is not because I wanted to, but because the dragon fruit blend juice I had a little bit of ginger in it.
So you used a blended juice instead of a whole fruit, or what was the...
Okay, it was a slurry. It was a blended whole fruit slurry juice.
Okay.
And I don't know why they put ginger in it, but I wasn't mad.
I mean, if it balances the flavor and tastes nice in, you know, juice format, it's probably going to work in mead format.
Now, this is a fairly young mead.
Okay.
This is only, like, at this point, about 3 to 4 weeks out of the barrel, bucket.
Okay.
Tops, maybe two. So it'll probably mellow with time, but this is what I got right now.
Okay. Well, let's give it a look. This is a nice dark gold color, maybe a dark straw, but pretty clear. A second, my sinuses are a little
overwhelmed.
It's not quite spring yet, but it's getting there. And
oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, smell is very light. It's got a. There's part of me that hates like terms like tropical fruit. That feels very generic, but it has a kind of a tropical fruit vibe to it on the bouquet. I'm not getting a lot of honey off of it. I'm also not getting a lot of like hot alcohol or anything like that either. So
it's got a little bit of a bite though.
It has a. I'm not sure if I would clock it as ginger had you not told me there was ginger in it. But there's a little tingle on the tongue, like especially around the edges of my tongue as it gets the palate.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really enjoying it, but yeah, you know, I'm biased. What do you think?
I like it. I expected it to be a little bit more fruity, honestly, but it's still nice. I can.
Dragon fruit's a very mild flavored fruit. I would have to use a syrupy to get more fruit out of that.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part about a number of these fruits. The other thing that I couldn't remember, not only have I not had dragon fruit mead, and I'm not sure how long it's been since I've actually had dragon fruit. It's been probably at least 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. And I will tell you, I talked not too long ago about the Aronaberry mead.
Yeah.
It was also called Choke Cherry. The farm, I want to give them a shout out because the people are super nice. Pink Pony Farm gave me my Aronaberries. And in trade for, you know, giving them a bottle of the Aronaberry mead so they could try it themselves, they gave me Sand Plum. Guess what's coming next?
I mean, hey. That's a great trade though, right? You get raw ingredients in exchange for, and what your Aronaberry was a 5 gallon batch or a 6 gallon
batch? It was actually a 2 gallon batch.
2 gallon batch. So you know you probably ended up with 10-ish bottles.
Yeah,
and you know lose one to get your whole next fruit allotment for the next batch.
Yeah.
Oh darn!
It hurts the soul.
It really does.
Yeah.
Hey, and speaking of shout-outs, you know who we need to thank?
Yeah, our listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
They're awesome.
You guys keep saying nice things. You keep tuning in. You keep listening. We love to hear from you guys. And if you have topics that you want us to cover, if you like something, you don't like something, and we have relatively thick skins, especially after drinking
a
bottle or two of mead.
I am feeling no pain.
Reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook at The Mead House. You can check out our website, obviously, www.themeadhouse.com. We're still working on getting onto all those different like podcast networks like Amazon and iHeartRadio.
Spotify.
And, right. All of those guys will be back up there as quick as we can.
Yeah. But, it's a matter. It's a lot of paperwork as it is.
Unfortunately, yeah. That is. But yeah, no. In the meantime, you can also just shoot us an email, info@themeadhouse.com.
Yeah.
And we will take any comments, criticism, feedback, suggestions, and do
whatever something you want to tell us, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your experiences. If you're doing this with us, as you know, if we've inspired you to start your own mead, tell us how it's going. Give us a heads up. We want to see who we're affecting out there. This is why we're doing it.
If something you know we're doing also sounds stupid and we should be doing something else, hey, you know,
I'm bring it.
That's not going to stop me from doing something stupid. I'm I'm 43 years old and I've got a good track record so far, so.
Hadn't killed me yet, so we know why it's not now. And also, for our sponsor, Bacchus and Barleycorn. Awesome people, great supplies, great information, very free to help. They want to help you make a great batch of beer, mead, wine, cheese, kombucha, or anything else, yogurt, anything else you want to ferment. They've got all the supplies, they have all the knowledge, and they have the love of the craft. Big shout out to Jake and the family.
Right. Great community. We are really lucky to be to have them as a resource here in Kansas City area. They are getting more and more like widespread out into the country as far as their mail order business too. And yeah, wow. So thankful for them sponsoring this podcast and giving us the opportunity to be back here bringing you this information and this just fun and fellowship for a while too.
And don't forget, if you go into Box and Barleycorn, use our coupon code MHP10 and for Meat House Podcast, and the amount you're going to get off discount, you're going to get off your order there of 10.
10% off.
10% off. And and if you're looking to get your starter kit, email him.
Yep.
He will put together a starter kit, give you a 10% discount from us, and then send it to you.
Link to their website is in our show notes. Real easy to find.
So off we go. Now, today's we're going to be talking about how to correct a bad batch of mead. And that was a bigger hole than I thought it would be, to be honest.
This isn't a whole episode, kind of a, yeah, this is a topic.
Now, first of all, what makes a bad batch as opposed to a correctable batch?
That's a topic. So, let's dive into our own experience here. There are definitely situations where a batch is not coming out the way you want it to, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it has a funky taste to it. Sometimes it is, it has a sharp acidity, or it's
Sometimes a
just,
lack of taste.
yeah, there, yeah,
My
there we go.
strawberry mead I made a while back. Oh my God. I mean, I tasted mead, but it was almost 100% strawberry juice
Right.
when I started with it.
Well, and the trial batch that I was telling you guys about for my Mead House 8% starter that we covered in, geez, how many episodes back was that now? Like five or six?
Five or six,
Yeah.
easy.
That, like we talked about, that trial batch came out a little watery. So there's not necessarily watery, but like,
Tasteless.
yeah, no,
It was neutral.
it tasted like water. So I guess.
I mean, yeah, but let's qualify. When is a batch of mead actively bad? Now, in my experience, I've had a few bad batches. One I had, it was a black or a vanilla batch. Sadly, it was a 7 gallon batch, and I had to cry a little bit when I, as a part of it, had a film on it.
Yeah.
It had real horrible vinegar, and it was even the viscosity wasn't even right. I mean, it just went bad on me.
Right.
And I found out within a week of when I started.
So that's a good sign of a probable bacteria infection. The biofilms you get are, those are an indicator that you have something other than yeast living in your batch. And unfortunately, those are not easy to come back from. You can get lucky with some of those. I think last week I was talking about one that, for whatever reason, it was cherry that a little bit of a bacteria thing for just an itty bitty bit made it taste okay. It was nice. And there are some, different beers or wines where they'll throw like there are different beers where they'll throw like Brettanomyces.
I have no idea what that thing is.
Brettanomyces is a different form of yeast that is a little bit more wild or funky. It has, I know you don't drink beer,
No.
and as a general rule, and I know generally people that drink like more mass market kind of beers would hear, this beer has a barnyard funk and it's really good. And think, what the F are you talking about, Jeff?
That's what that is.
The barnyard funk is Brettanomyces. That's a
Okay.
different kind of yeast that usually they put in like after the Saccharomyces, the main kind of yeast, has done its thing. But sometimes they'll just put it in right up front. There are some, like, there are a lot of sour beers, for example, where after they have fermented on the Saccharomyces yeast, they will go and add a bacterial strain to sour it up, to really give it some tart character. That's not unheard of for that style to work. But anytime that's happened to me, it's been completely by accident. It's only worked out once. Every other time, it's just kind of come out nasty. And that biofilm, especially if you get like a little 3D effect on that biofilm, and then it's pretty far gone. You don't want to mess with that.
Actually, I recently started a batch that turned out poorly, I was trying to do a caramel apple toasted honey one, and I don't know if the cider I put in it was bad or I got some bacterium or something in it, but such a strong vinegar flavor that I don't see a way to bounce back from it at this point.
Right. Well, and
I haven't dumped it yet because I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll be inspired, but I'm not. Oops.
the vinegar thing is a little bit more tricky because vinegar, as you know, is vinegar has converted to a part of the alcohol has been converted to an acetic acid, right? There are a number of other natural acids, especially in honey, mead, things like that, that can kind of come off. If there's just a lot of acid in the brew, it can come off a little vinegary too. You might not have gone like full Acetobacter infection there. You might just have a really acidic A batch of honey and B it was a strain of apples used to make that cider. And once all the sugar was gone, well, F, that's just a lot of acid in there.
Yeah,
And may
and that's why I
taste
haven't thrown it out yet.
right.
I'm gonna experiment a little bit, maybe bring some over some, maybe we'll talk about it. If it's bad, it's a gallon. I'm not gonna cry buckets,
Sure.
but I will say there's a different one I had recently that was a peanut butter I was trying. I was trying to make a peanut butter chocolate. Oh, it went south so hard. So hard. And it was a 3 gallon batch, but and I don't feel bad about losing that one per se, because I did so much to try to correct it. I'm very comfortable in the fact that if there was, other than molecular conversion, there was nothing I could do.
Fair. I mean, there are those days in this hobby where we have to strive, and our striving leads to naught, and it is sad, but we just keep trying.
Yeah, I mean, this why it's a science and an art. The art is you're fighting other sciences. And here we go. So, okay, a bad batch. What would you qualify as just something? It's time to move on, cut your losses. What
There
are indicators you have?
are some things where you're just not going back from that. Acetobacter infection, especially an advanced one that does not taste good, there's no fixing that, unfortunately. Another thing that you cannot fix, and that is unfortunate, are you familiar with the concept of surly aging?
No, I'm not.
The idea behind it is, and then this you see this is intentionally done in some different wines, where basically like the yeast cake at the bottom of the fermenter, they let that bulk age on that yeast cake for a while.
That sounds risky.
So there is a bitter quality that you get to the wine that some people very much enjoy.
Okay.
I'm not one of those people.
I am not either.
But if you let your wine sit on the yeast too long, you can get a bitterness to it that it's very distinct. Once you've tasted it once and somebody points it out to you, you're not going to forget it again. It's a little hard to describe other than it's just bitter and gross and I don't like it.
Okay.
But yeah, there's no coming back from that one either. You can try to sweeten around it, you can try to add other flavors. It just there isn't a lot you can do to mitigate it, unfortunately. There are some things you can actually relatively easily mitigate, though. One of the more common ones, you will smell it before you taste it, but a sulfury kind of farty smell.
Like that
That's
rotten egg type.
yeah.
Okay.
And you'll get that from a lot of different cases. Sometimes too high temperature for a lot of our more common wine yeasts, sometimes a lack of nutrient or just other stressed fermentation conditions can cause sulfur related compounds to be thrown by the yeast. Fixed that, actually, go to the hardware store, get a 1/4 inch piece of copper pipe, clean it very well so it's just bright copper, dump that in there, let it sit for a couple days.
Really?
That will neutralize a lot of that sulfur compound all by itself.
That's amazing.
Wild, right?
Yeah, that's really
And
wild.
just if you can find an actual copper penny, you can use that too. But who can find an actual copper penny these
Yeah,
days?
I'm not a collector.
Yeah, no, no. That one is dead easy, and I don't keep copper along. I don't really have that because I've been better at managing my fermentation since I've gotten kind of good at this. Kind of good at this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
I'm a
complain.
work in progress, though. Yeah.
Hey, me too. I'm just a little bit further along, I think. But yeah, no, that is a simple solution for something that is nasty and tastes bad.
Okay.
And that one you can fix. A part of this is just instinct and trial and error, unfortunately. There are also a lot of other cases where things just don't go right or they aren't really shaping up the way you see it in your head as you envision, this mead being finished. Like, for example, the mead just kind of tastes flabby or lifeless. You still get that honey character, you get the fruit character to it, but it just there's it's not lively, it's not bright, it's not happy, right? How do you fix that? Do you want to take a guess on that one?
I wouldn't have any clue at the moment. I mean, if I was okay, if something was not, it was flat, I would probably either try to get a little more acid or tannin in it to bring it up a little bit.
You're not wrong. Acid is actually usually the solution there. Just
Okay.
adding a very small amount of either like citric acid or an acid blend that includes tartaric and malic acid is generally a great way to do that. When I was working at Bock's and Barleycorn, like I saw Jackie do this a number of times when people brought in, a bottle of something to say, "Hey, this doesn't taste great. What's going on?" and started doing this myself. He had just a little screw top, probably 3 or 4 ounce container of acid blend out in the back in a little cabinet drawer that he would pull out and just literally sprinkle it like you're doing salt on a steak, and then swirl the glass a little bit like, "Oh, does that taste better here? Does this taste better?"
And yeah.
9 times out of 10, that's the brightness. That's the thing you need to go, "Oh, yeah,
Much
that's what
better,
it
yeah.
was. It's not flabby anymore.
Okay, oh, that's good. I'm glad. The reason I was thinking the acid, and I thought 10 maybe have something to do it, but I was thinking acid because if I was making a brighter dish when I was cooking, I had lemon.
And I forget who I heard this from. I think it was I don't remember her name. Cookbook author that I saw one time, but she gave a bit of advice where, like, if you add salt to food and it doesn't make it taste better, what you need to add instead is acid.
Okay.
And like, God, it must have been 6 or 8 months ago. My wife and I were making a big, huge bowl of macaroni and cheese to feed to her staff for like a
Company party.
worker appreciation kind of party. And like, it didn't taste great. And we put a little salt in it. And then it wasn't quite right. Did we mess something up with the cheese? No, we put a lot of cheese in there. It was perfect. And like, okay, so I gave it like literally quarter cup of vinegar. Like, holy shit, that worked. That worked. And then we put Dijon mustard in it, and it was like, whoa,
Even
mind
better.
blown.
Okay. Now, I got that the lemon thing from my daughter, the chef. So
Yes. Well, and she would know.
yeah. I've literally called my daughter, I need a new flavor, what you got? And it takes her half a second to rattle off three or four.
No. For flabby or like lackluster feeling meads, if you can sweeten it up a little bit and it doesn't seem to help in that regard, try acid.
Okay, that's a new one. I haven't done that. I'm gonna have to try that sometime in the future because it's happened a couple times, and I don't want to make it candy sweet or
No.
cloyingly sweet, but I didn't know what else to do at the time. Okay, excellent. Okay, now, so now we know what a bad batch is. Now we're going to do tweaking. Now, we know it's if it's lackluster, a little bit of acid. What other? Okay, if it lacks flavor, we can do a secondary flavor.
Right. We could do an addition of, let's say you're making a plum mead and or stone fruits. To my experience, they're a little bit light in flavor, kind of like the dragon fruit in this.
Yeah.
It probably takes a lot of dragon fruit to make a very dragon fruit forward mead.
Yeah.
Same way it probably takes a lot of, plum or peach to make a very plum or peach forward mead. Strawberries, another example.
Oh yeah, you know my strawberry story.
Right.
Yeah, I made a strawberry based mead where I juiced 35 pounds of strawberries. I had a juicer. Those little Jack LaLanne juicers. I spent an entire evening juicing those freaking strawberries. I was so pissed off. Everything was sticky. I was sticky. The counter was sticky. I got this large stock pot, half full of strawberry juice.
Yep.
Stuck that in my 7 gallon bucket, filled it up with honey and rust with water, and started up. Got to the very end, and I tasted honey, and that was really. I mean, it smelled like strawberry. It smelled like the most amazing strawberry blend you've ever had in your life. Zero flavor strawberry. I mean, it was so mild, I could not taste it over the honey.
That's a kick in the teeth, isn't it?
Oh my, and yeah, I'm sitting here. How can I possibly get more strawberry in this bucket? Was my first thought. And I talked to Jeff, and he says, let's get some puree or some freeze-dried strawberries, which I end up doing both, actually.
Yeah.
And I put like I was it was almost 500 400 grams of freeze-dried strawberry in, and I put it in a bag and stuck it in there for like 2 days until they were starting to turn white around the edges as far as I could tell. And I put about almost 16 ounces of puree in, puree concentrate in.
Damn.
It was that, and I stirred that all together and I left it there. Now, mind you, at this point, the yeast is gone. I've killed the yeast off. I'm just trying to flavor this thing. And I could taste a little bit of strawberry, but it was now it was a little bit of strawberry with a bitterness under it I was not happy with. And you gave me the cheat that I will use if it ever comes up again to my dying day. I added cocoa nibs and I made a chocolate strawberry, and it was actually really good.
I just did some math while you were telling the story. 400 grams of freeze-dried strawberries is 0.88 pounds. And oh my, I don't want to. I can conceptualize how much fruit that was, of fruit that has been drained of all of its water mass and is just that, like the flavor and the like the fibrous part of the
Structure, yeah.
fruit. Like, ooh, ew.
Mean, but that's what it took.
Yeah.
I mean,
And strawberry is a very dilute flavor. Like I have told you the story about my wife and the strawberry thing. I'll repeat it here because it's a good story
it's a
and
fun story.
it's fun. So, I think I was at Bacchus and Barleycorn, and one of the customers there had mentioned, "Hey, Sprouts on Miriam Drive is doing a sale. They've got strawberries for $1 a pound." Like,
And
cool.
you didn't call me. I was hurt. How about that hurt?
So I was like, okay, well, that's good to know. And as soon as they left, I, sent my wife a text like, "Hey, honey, do you need strawberries for anything? I hear they're cheap. I'm gonna go get some after work. Blah 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 blah." So I leave work. I go pick up my son from my mother-in-law's house. I go to Sprouts, and the sale isn't legit. The table that they have these little clamshells of pounds of strawberries on is a little picked over at this point, and I'm getting dirty looks because I'm grabbing like a basket, like a trolley cart of strawberries off there, and other people were like, "I wanted strawberries too, sir."
No, I was here first.
So I came home with 22 pounds of strawberries. I can't carry 22 pounds of strawberries. I park. I get as many as I can get on an arm load. I think like 7 or 8 pounds. Just not weight, volume, is stopping
It
me from
is
carrying
the
it.
clamshells are awkward.
And so, I leave my kid in, and I think I didn't tell my wife how many pounds of strawberries I was getting. I just said, "I'm getting a shitload."
Now, to be honest, you didn't know how much you were getting either till you got there.
I had a target number,
Okay, what was that target number?
20.
Okay.
She suggested we get some for the parrot we had, and for for her and for Owen for snacks.
Okay,
So
so yeah,
round
two
up, give
pounds
me
for them,
two.
20 for
Yeah.
you. Okay. I didn't know you had an actual number in mind.
Yes. So I walk in there with 7 or 8 pounds, and it turns out my wife is having just some friends from work over to, I think they were painting or something like that, and just having a social hour and enjoying some homebrew and things like that. And she looks at this armload of strawberries that I set on the island between the kitchen and the living room where she's hosting guests, and she's like, "Wow, you really did get a shitload of strawberries." I was like, "Yeah, I'll be right back." And I bring two more armloads in, and she's like, "Jeff, what the hell? We have guests. What are you doing?" It's like, making strawberry mead. What does it look like?
There you go.
And I wish I had more strawberries.
Yeah, well, spring's coming, man.
20 pounds of strawberries in a 5 gallon batch apparently just wasn't enough.
Yeah, it was. I had 35 and a 7, and it wasn't even close. And I'm honestly, if I do it again, I'm either going to get a strawberry syrup like Mentors, or I'm going to make my own syrup with strawberries. I'm going to cook it down so I can just intensify that strawberry. That was. But yeah, but that's how we fix that one.
Right. And there's stuff like watermelon that I imagine would be even more terrible to
Oh
do.
my gosh.
Like
Like 90% water.
the idea of doing a whole fruit watermelon mead, oh, I don't have that. No. Just no. I don't.
That's called a traditional, isn't it?
It's gonna taste that way once the like slight amount of pink color falls out,
Yeah.
yes.
All right, so anyway, okay, the next question on this one was How do you figure out what you need? I mean, we talked about, that one thing you put copper in and it'll take out that
Sulfury smells, yeah.
sulfury combo,
As
whatever.
far as like bringing up a mead that is just not passing the smell test for you, that you're just not happy with, the main tweak, the first tweak that I always go to is that triangle combination of sweet and acid and tannin.
Okay.
Getting those three in a complementary balance is generally like a good first step as far as just making a mead that's eh, or it's okay to good or pass or something that I can, proudly serve to friends. But as far as the easiest to fix, obviously, is sweet. You just add more honey because this is a honey-based thing. You don't go, I go slow and a little,
Little can go a long way.
right, a little at a time. My back sweetening, honestly, is generally somewhere between 2 to 6 ounces per gallon. Not very much at all. Not much at all. So, yeah, no, just a little at a time. Taste it as you go, and bring it up there. That's the easiest one to fix. Acid is not much harder. There is already a good amount of acid in most fruit, and definitely some amount of acid in honey. So, you're just kind of enhancing that acidity more than anything else. You don't need very much to. You don't need very much added to make it that much better. But kind of acid you want to add to it does depend a little bit on what you're using, what other ingredients you got in there. If you've got like a cider, for example, you might skip citric and go for malic acid entirely.
Okay.
Malic is, if you've ever like bitten into a Granny Smith apple,
Yeah.
it's very tart, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's malic acid.
Okay.
Citric acid, obviously, an orange, a
Yeah.
lemon, things like that. Another big one is tartaric acid, which I don't know that you taste a lot of tartaric acid like naturally in our foodstuffs and things like that, but that is a it's a byproduct of winemaking, honestly. The some bottles of wine will get little crystals in them just from sitting for a very long time. That's tartaric acid settling.
Okay, so what we're looking at, we have, or the things we're looking at, we have with the flavor is off,
Right.
and you can add more of that flavor,
Right.
or add additional flavor to complement or enhance, like chocolate and strawberry.
Absolutely.
Another one is the sweetness, which is adding honey. Then we have the acid, which is adding whatever particular acid is appropriate toward
Right.
that flavor.
Another thing we can do, and this can help a little bit in flabby meads, but acid is generally the one that brightens it up and makes it more palatable, tannins. And adding tannins is the one that takes a little bit more time and a little bit more patience because,
Is that like the oaking
right,
and
the most consistently appreciable way to add tannins in a nice and palatable way for a mead is putting oak on it. There are a number of things like, if you're doing a blueberry mead, for example, and you're using the Vintner's Harvest juice instead of just using the juice, it might behoove you in the start to add a pound or two of actual blueberries just so you get some blueberry skins.
Yeah.
The skins will have,
Tannin.
right, the tannin in there, it's some anthocyanins. I say that like it's the word of the day, and this is Pee Wee's Playhouse, but those color molecules that also, those carry some tannin, those carry some color, they're part of the good stuff of this. And so having some of the actual like whole fruit, or at least like frozen and kind of like smashed up parts of the fruit, would be a good thing.
When I use whole fruit, I hit it with a stick blender before I put it in my batch. I mean, I want as much broken up as, I mean, I'll freeze it, thaw it, and blend it so I get as much of that hitting the liquid as I can.
So I would caution you in that regard. It depends on the kind of fruit, to be honest. Blueberries, I could see being a little bit problematic in that regard. The thorough way to handle it, generally from my perspective, is freeze thaw, and between those, after the thaws, just kind of use your hands and your hands only, and just kind of give it a good smush against the counter.
We smash it up a bit.
Right. The stick blender, the problem with those is that you can break up the seed inside the fruit. And there are a lot of bitter compounds in there that can be released
I do
quickly.
try to remove seeds. I did not say that, but I do try to remove seeds.
Fair. If that's the approach you're going to take and you're going to do some kind of like strain or sifting, that's too much effort for me, frankly.
It should be for me, but I'm when I focus in, I'm stuck.
Fair. We all have our own different like ways of we like to do things. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, no. So generally, fruit skins are a great way to get some level of tannin all by themselves. You can also look at things like Rouge Boost or little tannin powders you can get from homebrew stores. Those are a nice way to add some, especially in the beginning of fermentation. I wouldn't necessarily finish with a tannin powder.
I think the tannin powder, you're supposed to think, be careful. Sounds like a be careful thing here.
This is, again, we're kind of in that whole surface area to volume. If you've got a powder, that's basically all surface area and very little volume. So that can go a very long way very, very quickly. Adding tannin in the powder form is generally more to something you want to do in the primary as a like a sacrificial tannin kind of a thing to just make more flavorful fermentation than something you want to use later in the process to bring up the tannin level. If you're looking to bring up the tannin level, oak.
Okay.
Oak.
My question here is now, you said sacrificial tannin.
Yes.
If you have too much tannin with your sa in the first part, your primary, can it be corrected later?
That's harder to.
So it's easier to add than subtract in this case, as like many other things.
Like almost anything else in this hobby, yes.
Okay, so caution is a good idea.
Right. If you're going to experiment with sacrificial tannins, I don't have enough experience with them myself to make definitive proclamations. I've tried it a couple times in different cases that seemed like it would be a good idea, and I've been relatively pleased with the results. This is adding just an extra layer of flavor or richness and complexity to a mead, really.
Okay.
But I would go very small, like no more than 1/2 ounce of oak or the recommended, like I think it's a quarter or a half a teaspoon in a 5 gallon batch for things like the Rouge Boost or the tannin powder.
Yeah,
So,
that's important information right
right.
there. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, go light on that and just put it in there up front. Let the
Easy to add, hard to take out.
right. This is the idea of this is the biotransformation effect of yeast doing their thing and going through the process of their metabolic cycle. The same way that there's a biotransformation after in the beer baking process when you boil that the hops and get like the little bitterness compounds from the way the proteins are folded there. The yeast will further play with that and do other stuff. And again, the yeast are just kind of biotransforming these tannins as part of their whole process. It's still going to be mostly tannin-ish at the end, but it blends. That's a very non-scientific and much, much more artistic than scientific answer, especially for me. But that's kind of my experience with it and my
And that's
understanding.
fair. And also, let's keep in mind, we are hobbyists. We're enthusiastic hobbyists, but we will trial and error batches, and which is why we make single gallon batches to try. And every batch we can made and have made has not been great,
Right.
and you shouldn't expect any more than that. I mean, I've met people that are mead quote mead masters in quote. I mean, in the industry, and they have the wall of awards to show for it, and they'll say, yeah, that batch didn't turn out, I had to pitch that one.
Yeah.
And it happens, it's part of the process, man. It's art. All right, so, and then there's the band-aid of, if it, I think the term you used when I was making my strawberry, and you said, well, we could always just make it chocolate strawberry, and you're I think was just, well, one time a guy made this ice cream that was supposed to be a vanilla bean ice cream, didn't work out really well, so it became a chocolate vanilla bean ice cream, and it was great because chocolate fixed it.
I mean, I think I got that from my former co-host JD. I'm pretty sure.
I believe that, but the off taste, I mean, if you look at a food wheel, what food counter, like if you get something too salty, you put a potato in a stew and it's less salty. There are ways you can do that, even in this. You can kind of counter a little bit of this. I mean, it's just, I'm not talking about bad taste, I'm talking off taste. The copper and the sulfur,
Far gone is too far gone.
too far gone is too far gone, though. And the too far gone, in my opinion, is when you taste your mead and you wouldn't give it to anyone, not even yourself. Then it may be too far gone, guy.
Right. I mean, there are many more not so great meads that I've been willing to say, okay, I'll just drink this on my own than I have been, okay, this is going down the drain.
Yeah.
But there have been a number of meads that I just didn't want to, none of my friends or acquaintances need to try this. This is not my.
And I the, and the sink is, well, if I'm going to bottle it and I'm never going to want to drink it again, just introduce it to the sink,
Yes.
let it go. It's part of the learning process. You're going to learn more from that failure than you're going to learn from your successes. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of how to correct meads. Is there anything else you want to add?
There is one more way to correct things.
What's that?
Especially if you screw up and you add too much. You know, like we've been saying, it's easier to add than to subtract, right? If you add too much and you need to correct a cloyingly sweet mead, there's another way you can approach that to do this.
They can do a bigger batch.
Blend it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You make another, let's say I've got a 5 gallon batch and it's way too sweet. Make a 5 gallon dry mead batch, blend it together. It might be 5 to 5. It might be 3 gallons dry to, 5 gallons sweet. But at the end of the day, you're making a whole new batch.
Yeah, I like that actually. I may pick that one up.
If you're bound and determined to save that batch, okay, but you could just make a whole new batch.
And correct it that way. Okay. Yeah, they blend whiskeys, why not meads?
Then, I know there are some mead makers that will just keep a traditional sweet and a traditional dry for that purpose, just to kind of tweak their
Totally.
batches to keep it. You know, this just the right sweetness level, just the right flavor level going. So they can add, 100 milliliters to a gallon, whatever, to get their flavor just dialed in exactly how they want it. I don't have the time or the patience to do that.
More than fair, but I've never even thought of that one, to be honest. So
Right.
I'm glad you
Yeah.
brought that up.
Blending is a way to fix a lot of these things. But again, that now you're committing to another number of months of work just to fix something that is kind of lackluster. And I don't know if I want to put that much effort into it.
It's kind of how much dedication you want to put to that particular batch of meat.
Right. How much is it worth to you? And if you've put $20 a pound fruit into a batch with authentic meadow foam honey, maybe that's
Yeah,
worth saving.
that
Yeah,
can be worth
maybe a gallon or two of dry mead just to take the cloying sweet out of it. Maybe that works. But my average day today, I think that's a lot more than I want to put into it, TBH.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway, so we're going to wrap that one up here. We'll see you next time. And thank you, Jeff, for having me over again.
Course.
Always nice to have mead with you.
Cheers to good mead.
Take care.
Thank you guys. We'll see you soon.